Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody today. We've got some visitors with us. We're very glad that you came to worship with us this morning. We're going to continue and finish up our study about elders. Basically, it's been one of biblical leadership, and it's been about 6-7 weeks that we've looked at various concepts. The last few weeks, we've been looking at New Testament, what applies, directly applies to us, and that is the leadership of elders in the Lord's church. The qualifications, the main crux of the qualifications found in the Bible are found in 1 Timothy and also in Titus, and for simplicity, so I've got to break everything down because I'm not the sharpest thing around, and so I've got to break things down for me to understand. And I kind of seen that of the whole list of characteristics, I kind of boiled them down into there were character traits that an elder must have, and we looked at that last week, and one of the things I do want to reemphasize, those character traits that we looked at are nothing that Christians shouldn't be anyway, but they are mandatory for an elder. The two we're going to look at this morning are that some family requirements and that of spiritual maturity and spiritual guidance. Now, we looked at the concept in the Old Testament that all the Israelites were God's children, but not all Israelites could be the priests. Only the Levites. There were, and not all Levites could be the priests. There was nothing wrong with being from the tribe of Benjamin, being a child of God. You can be a faithful, sound, productive member of the Lord's church and be a Christian, a serving Christian, and not even be married. You're not required as a Christian to have a family, to have children, but to be an elder, you do. We're going to look at some of these. Let's look at these qualifications found in Timothy and Titus again, real quick. In 1 Timothy, Paul wrote, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." And then the passage in Titus reads, "If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Last week, we looked at that of character traits. Today, I'd like for us to look at family and the spiritual guidance, the spiritual maturity that a man that serves as an elder must have. For family requirements, it says that he must be the husband of one wife. That says an awful lot right there. It rules out women being elders. And I've seen across the brotherhood some congregations of the Lord's church straying from the truth, perverting the truth, installing women elders. It says they must be a husband. That's male gender. And for those out in the community that can't define what a woman or a man is, I'll say it again. They must rule their own house well. In 1 Timothy, starting verse 4, it says, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Up until what age? Until they hit 18? We see the principles in the Bible. In the Bible, not just New Testament, people are in subjection to honor their father and mother for their life. I've seen people use the argument, well, while they were under my house, they were faithful. They always attended. You can bring them duct taped, kicking and screaming, and they're always there. What do they do when they're out on their own? That's the true measurement. That's the true measurement. Did you have the influence on them? Because there it explains it in verse 5. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? How is a man like that? Well, I always brought my kids. Well, they were under my roof. How are you going to counsel somebody else if your children were hellions? Well, while they were under my roof, I brought them every Sunday. And I'll tell you, I fell way short in that. Fell way short in that one. It says, faithful children not accused of dissipation or insubordination. Dissipation, it's not a word we use in conversations a lot. It's wasteful living. I think of the prodigal son. When he got out on his own, he went buck wild. And we saw how that story ended. And children not like that. With spiritual maturity, they have to desire the position. Desire the position of service, not the title. Somebody that understands what it is to be a shepherd of God's people. a shepherd, an overseer of God's flock. Because they're on his watch. Able to teach. Not a novice. That says a lot. Have you ever known people? Oh, they look like they would be a good elder. They're a CEO out in the professional world. Boy, they sure look the part. Sometimes we forget the requirements that God has. Not a novice. You can be a novice in different ways. You can be a new Christian as a novice. Well, he believes in God. His children believe, his whole household. Let's make him an elder. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same snare as the devil. You can be a novice to the congregation. Maybe they're Christian 40 years, but brand new to the congregation. The congregation doesn't even know them. Not a novice, especially with spiritual maturity. Jesus explained in the parable of the soil in Matthew 13 how some of the seed sprang up quickly but withered because there was no roots. They haven't displayed. They're too young or too new to establish a track record. What have they exhibited as a history? Not a novice. They need to be holy and life blameless, not perfect. Holy doesn't mean you've got to be like God, but you've got to be God-like. You've got to be in that light. When Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, he was writing to Christians in general for them to be holy. We are expected to be holy. For an elder to be holy, that's not above and beyond what we as Christians are called to be. But by golly, an elder has to be. They have to hold fast the faithful word of truth as they've been taught. They can't just go with the breeze. Blow this way, and then when popular opinion goes this way, I'll go with the flow. Don't want to step on toes. Don't want to upset the apple cart. They've got to be the ones to hold the line. They've got to be the anchor for those that are blowing this way and blowing that way. Why? Because they may need to not only exhort, but to convict those who contradict the word of God. A man can have, and I don't know how other to describe this other than the checklist. You can have the qualities required to be an elder, but maybe not be a good choice for an elder. Maybe your life is too busy. You are holy. You are sober-minded. You are the husband of one wife. You're raising your children, but you're too busy to devote the time needed to be the shepherd of the Lord's church. You might be smack dab in the midst of raising those children. You may be out of town with work or work requirements that pull your attention away, divide your your activities, your mental concentration, you may not have the time to effectively be an elder. You might have all those qualifications. Have you known people that are good people? They're just not leaders. They may be in poor health. It wouldn't be fair to them. It would not be fair to them if they're in poor health and to add additional strain and stress and care on them when their health is already shaky. They might fit all of those qualities, but their family doesn't want them to be. You're in a fishbowl. Everything you, everything your wife, everything your children does is going to be scrutinized. Maybe they're not desiring the position. It's one thing for the man to desire the position, but maybe the family, which comes first, isn't desiring that position. Every congregation has a personality. We are not Bright Angel. Bright Angel isn't Victory Road. Victory Road is in North Las Vegas. Sound congregations have different personalities. A man may fit those qualifications, might have even been an elder prior in another city. We're a very transient society. May not be a good fit for that congregation. If that makes sense. Hebrews 13, verse 17. We're reminded, obey those who rule over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. Our scripture reading that Puka read earlier, verse 28 says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. That's why an elder needs to be able to hold fast that word of God, because he's protecting the flock from sometimes those that the flock aren't even aware is the danger. The Apostle Peter would write, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Why do some congregations not have elders? Some congregations don't have the men that fit the qualifications as put forth in the Bible. Better to not have elders if they're not qualified than to try to pound a square peg in a round hole. which I've seen done before. I've been in congregations that some people didn't want elders because they have some, certain individuals had some authority, and having elders would step on their toes. They wouldn't have the say-so anymore. I've seen that happen. The dangers of not having elders. You're not organized. We are not organized the way God intended. We're doing our best. And I will tell you this, I am so impressed with the men of this congregation for standing in the gap, doing all the things that an elder would have needed to do in the lack of elders. But as Paul told Titus, I left you in Crete that you may appoint those, and the things that are lacking. He's not accepting it. You need to have elders, and you appoint them in the places that they're lacking. One of the problems of not having elders is everybody's a leader. Sam's opinions are just as good as Don's, just as good as mine, just as good as Curtis's. And yet no one's a leader. I'm going to decide that we're going to come in. I'm going to paint the building inside purple. Why not? I've got just as much, I've got just as much say-so as anybody else. And then the next week somebody else comes in and paints it red. Why not? Who's who to tell me I can't? That's one of the dangers. You run the risk of a vote. You run the risk of voting on things. Nowhere in the Bible. And I'll tell you, this is one of the drawbacks, personally, that I've seen with us Christians living in the United States. We get used to having rights. We're supposed to be submissive to the Word of God. Case closed. A lot of times people want their say. And the only thing worse than a majority vote, voting on things and the majority, we'll go with what the majority says. The only thing worse than that is an aggressive and very vocal minority that sway people, that get aggressive and lead things by the few. God's people are always in the right, even if there's one. And sometimes elders have to stand up. Not from forces outside, sometimes from within. And that's one of the dangers of not having elders. What are we to do without qualified elders? One, we pray. And I'll tell you, this congregation has prayed and will continue to pray for elders. We need to study to make sure we understand true biblical leadership. I think we're doing that. That's one of the things that this is about. It's an ongoing thing. We may never have elders. I don't know. I know we need to understand because we're not always going to be worshiping together. Some people are going to move, and we need to understand in other locations what true biblical leadership is. You're not always going to be the age you are right now. You may be an elder 20 years from now someplace else. We need to understand true leadership. And while we're at it, let's not forget to pray. Men need to prepare themselves right now be preparing themselves right now to be an elder in the future. You do not just wake up one day, I think I'll be an elder today. It doesn't work like that. You prepare yourselves. And while you're preparing yourselves, let's not forget to pray. Women, you women, you'll never have the opportunity to be an elder. But you know what? You can prepare yourselves to be an elder's wife. And women, don't live your life in a way that deprives the Lord's church of a good man serving. You can keep, you can make or break your husband. Families, children, you live your life, don't be the one thing standing between a good man serving as an elder or not because of you. Prepare yourselves. Prepare that husband and father to be an elder, a servant, an overseer, a shepherd of the Lord's church. There's no greater calling. No greater calling. James Garfield, when he was elected president, I think our 20th president, he was an elder in the church. And he says, I must step down from the most powerful position on earth to become president of the United States. He got it. I hope this has been good for our learning. I hope this has been eye-opening. I know every time I look at these qualifications, I learn. I'm encouraged. And again, without elders, I cannot commend the men at this location enough for doing the work in lieu of elders. If you need to respond to the invitation, put your Lord on in baptism. If you need to repent of sin in your life, if you need the prayers of the congregation, your brothers and sisters would be eagerly waiting to pray with and for you. Sam's getting ready to lead us in our invitation song. Preston's getting it set up right now. I thank you for these last few weeks. The comments you've given me regarding this series and questions and so forth. Anyway, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Sam leads us. Our last song is here. They're displayed on the screen. I don't think it's in our book. Let's stand.